fighting tyranny. You're listening to Knights of the Sword.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Knights of the Storm. The reason you saw the bumper there was we got purged today. Surge the Purge. We'll be talking about censorship, talking about his work on the border, and we may get into some current event kind of stuff as well, depending on time. Today is March 1st, 2024 in the afternoon, but if you're watching this on our channel, it will be March 2nd, and we will be in the live chat. We just had to record it now. Due to scheduling and things like that, and sometimes we got to do that, but we always make sure to have the live chat. Today, of course, I'm your host, Jason Barker, and we have my co-host, Angus Mustang, and we want to welcome Surge the Purge. Surge, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing, Angus?
Good. Just recovering from the fun we had last night in the foxhole with Name That Tune.
That was a blast, was it not? And you were there as well, Surge.
I was there for a bit. Yeah. I was going to say that. Yeah. Next time me and Guard got to do the list, cause no one's going to get any of them.
All right. Hey, I'll tell you what, you and Guard come up with the entire list and then you can host it.
Okay.
Yeah. All I like to do the guest host thing because it's a lot of buttons to push on this end and, you know, hosting and yeah. So, and plus it adds a different flavor to each episode. So if you haven't caught it, go check out the Foxhole. It's here on Rumble. It's on Twitter. It's on, I think we did stream to Facebook, but I think Facebook blocked it because of a copyright violation. So there you go. You know,
last night, I just wanted to ask real quick, cause I heard someone say, shut up and play the music. Was that to us or was that to the bands?
I don't know.
Nobody knows for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I think it was the track we were actually playing, but, that was Little John. He has character.
That's funny.
So let's jump into it. So the reason we're having Surge on is because Surge has been doing some work on the border and then landed him in a little bit of hot water with some censorship. So I guess we'll first start off with what is it that you did down in Lukeville that got the feds on your case, man? Let's talk about that.
Well, first, I want to say I hope the feds are not on my case because that would actually really suck. I did actually get quite a few messages from family members saying, like, hey, you know, you should really not post this. The feds, you know, watch for this kind of stuff and really like to basically make an example out of journalists like yourself for doing this kind of stuff. Maybe you should just not talk about this. And obviously, whenever my family says something like that, it usually means that I'm going to do the opposite.
Nice.
As my nature.
Real quick. Yeah. I hate to interrupt you, but real quick, before the Revolutionary War, I wonder how many people were telling the founders of the country that maybe you just shouldn't talk about this.
Ironically, that's a great point. I mean, only 5% of the population was for that at the time. I don't know if a lot of people know that.
Right.
It was not like the whole country wanted this to happen, you know. But yeah, I think it's always one thing I've learned in life is the majority is almost always wrong. And if you're in the minority in terms of your thoughts, you know, you're probably not going to have a lot of friends for it. But, you know, eventually the truth will prevail over time. In terms of Lukeville, I mean, basically, yeah, I went down there. I went alone, which I didn't want to do, but I did anyways, because, you know, people don't want to go do that stuff. And all the stuff that I found down there, well, it's pretty much what you helped me connect the dots with, because I went down and I'm like, huh, this is just a weird situation, you know, 7 miles in the middle of the desert with a bunch of, you know, government contracted porta potties and dumpsters out here. And just kind of an odd scenario. Makes sense, though, that they're accommodating illegal aliens. But the part that didn't make sense is why 7 miles into the desert, right?
Well, that's the thing is, if you go to Lukeville, if you go on Google Maps and look up Lukeville, there's literally nothing on the U.S. side. It's just a doorway in the fence. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So there's no need. I mean, there's plenty of open ground right there at the doorway that if we're going to go ahead and say, okay, these people are going to come over. First of all, who told them to go there to that port of entry? That's a question in of itself, right? You know, it's organized because people came, they walked 2,000 miles or rode a bus or a train or whatever to come to this one specific location. And then spoiler alert, they knew ahead of time because was the governor of Arizona there had already signed some executive orders, had billed the U.S. federal government for $500 million, mobilized the National Guard. They had tents set up to receive these people before we knew the migrant caravan was coming. So there, this shows a lot of foreknowledge and a lot of cooperation with like whatever global entity is organizing this stream of people into our country. That was the deal that made it a big deal because it wasn't a reactionary thing. It was a proactive thing. And if you follow the money, you know that these people are in the know. And being Lukeville right there, it's just a highway that just basically runs to a gate into Mexico. There's no people that live out there. And there was no reason they couldn't, if they're going to bring them in and make sure they get their court date set up and they give them a free credit card or whatever the hell they're doing, right? You know, a go Joe Biden t-shirt or whatever. They didn't need to push them out in the desert. So that now shows secrecy and deceptiveness, right? So anyway, I'm just kind of like building the picture for people to see what you went down there to document.
Yeah, well, I mean, the truth is I didn't actually go looking for any of that. I mean, it kind of just fell in my lap. And I mean, I just went down. I mean, I went down to the border a couple times before that, just assuming like, hey, I'm just going to see a million people, you know, crossing. That's just how it is, like at any border crossing in America right now. But that just was not the case for any single time I've gone to the border, like literally never. Have I seen it in person yet? And now I've been like four times in person, crossed into Mexico even, haven't seen any of this stuff. Not saying that it's not true, because obviously I think a lot of people are like, oh, well, then it's all a hoax. Obviously it's not, because there's plenty of footage, but I think that just even further proves the planning of the whole thing. And yeah, I mean, the fact that just if you follow the money, I mean, it literally shows you the timeline, like September, 3 months before the biggest illegal crossing in Arizona to ever occur. They get, you know, these porta potties 3 months before in the middle of the desert for like $380,000 or something like that. And the contract expires in April. So it's like, what, you know, the timing is odd. The location is odd. The whole thing was odd. And then that's, you know, obviously what we did by putting the pieces together. And then once, you know, I put the video out, I kind of had a feeling it was going to get shadow banned like immediately, but I still, you know, wanted to send the message out, obviously. But yeah, pretty much like day one of actually before that, even like the first Lukeville video I did before I even edited it into, you know, kind of what we're talking about. Cause before it was just me making observations, but then the second time was us actually putting the pieces together. Was the first video was actually already shadow banned. Then when we put out the second one about, you know, the official documentary, it was like even more shadow banned. And then I started losing, you know, followers on Twitter. I started losing views on YouTube in like real time. Like I could just refresh the page and it would just subtract views off the video.
And that was on your other videos that you did prior to that had no problems before, right?
Yeah, I was doing it with all of them for like a good like couple of weeks. It was just subtracting views off everything on my channel. So yeah, at the time I honestly thought like, all right, maybe this is it, you know, for YouTube. Maybe I'm getting banned like permanently. I don't know. I mean, it seems to have recovered at the moment, but you know, time will tell, I suppose.
Yeah. So Angus, what do you think about that whole scenario?
Well, you're saying you go to the border and you don't see anything, and yet the news always shows us, you know, miles and miles of people coming across and this and that. So is this like the same scenario where they tell you that, you know, there's a hurricane coming, there's 100 mile an hour winds, and the guy, you know, the anchor's trying to stay upright, and you see two people walk behind him? You know, is this the same thing that they're just showing? Because that's what I always say. They always show you, oh, this is what's happening, and they focus on one little thing and it's all a lie, you know, yeah. just to get the hysteria up to bring the,
I actually do agree with you now. And I think, cause before, you know, I think it's obvious, right? Like when you watch the news on an issue like that, you automatically just want to be like, you want to believe it for one, because of the outrage, and you want to just be like, yeah, screw this. I need to get behind a cause here. But then like you go in person and you're like, no, actually screw all the media that's pushing this, because none of it is like true at all. And it's just being used, I think, now as a wedge issue to drive Republican votes. Like Republicans love this issue is what I'm obviously, I mean, it's a valid problem, obviously, but they're just driving it home through the election.
All right, so I have 2 points to that too. So these people, like the governor of Arizona, gets money from federal government to, you know, rent porta potties. He's probably renting them from a friend of his. You know what I mean? All this money just starts to generate more money.
We don't want to misgender.
Yeah.
So, you know, they say that
Katie Hobbs.
New York City is completely full. He's getting funding from the federal government. Where does anybody ever follow this money after these people get it to see what actually happens with this?
Well, yeah. So let me just rebuttal that real quick, because yeah, she got $500 million, like literally that much. And then you go down there and I honestly want to say there's probably not even like $1 million being used.
No. Well, those tents were already owned. Their National Guard tents, they threw them up, which, you know, I talked about that as like, what military commander lets you leave your equipment in the field? Unless they were, you know, a one-time purchase to leave them up for future operations. And that's what I'm concerned with, is they're out there hidden in the desert. They didn't take them down. They didn't sanitize the area, clean it, always do a police call, pick up the trash. It's like ready to go again. You know, so I think we could probably see this happen. Maybe not now that you covered it. Maybe.
And I don't
you're
know.
You're not the only one, right? There's another guy covered it too. And why don't you talk about that guy's story, how he got arrested? That's kind of an interesting story.
Well, he was definitely on the cusp of getting arrested for covering the situation in Lukeville, because, they just didn't want him filming it. Like he basically has a video where he finds where they're actually holding and staging the migrants by the border wall and then moving them into the desert. And then he basically told them, hey, you can't film here. We're going to arrest you. Film from the parking lot where you can't see anything. So that was like the first video. And this is Andrew Callahan, who's just a YouTube journalist. Actually, I think he's actually been on InfoWars a couple times, like back in the day. But yeah, he basically, you know, did that documentary, and then he went to Eagle Pass. And I don't know, to be honest with you, like to me, this is a lack of knowledge of the law, why he did this. Like you just shouldn't do it, even if you're a journalist. But he basically crossed over into Mexico and then paid a coyote to like smuggle them across the border back into the US, which anyone with common knowledge knows, like, this is illegal in general. It's ironic that it's illegal, because obviously we know what's happening right now, but it's still, you know, if you're a gringo, like, don't do this. And basically that's what he did. Swam across the river and then immediately got arrested, put in jail, like, you know, whatever international jail, for like 3 weeks or something like that. And actually faced like felony charges for up to like 5 years in prison for doing this. But luckily the judge dropped it, but he still had to pay like $5,000 in fines.
So he should have just threw his ID out and said he was from China. He would have got a bus ride anywhere in the US he wanted to go, and a $1,000 gift card. And, you know, maybe they put a little bow in his hair too.
Well, to his credit, he didn't think it was illegal. Like, he said it on video. He's like, no, no, we're journalists. They're like, you've committed a crime. He's like, this is a crime?
To go home. Yeah. And I wanted to point something out. We forgot to mention, Serge, we were talking about down in Lukeville where you went, and he went there ahead of you when the people were actually coming over. And then you went to go verify that, and there was nothing happening. It's like,
yeah,
it was
he's
like
got more budget.
Yeah. But yeah, but, you pointed out something I didn't catch, but, why out in the desert? Why not right there at the entrance? Right, where it makes sense, because there's lots of room. It is actually a national park, Mm-hmm. And the federal government can close down a national park. So that could be why they put it out 7 miles in the desert, because then they can restrict access. And you talked about that in your documentary, how the only border patrol you saw was two cars guarding the road out into the desert. And then there was a couple at the actual camp parked there, right? Guarding the camp.
Yeah.
But there was no one doing like any kind of enforcement of border crossing whatsoever. It was just,
it was like literally trash through the desert for miles, like to no end, you know, shirts, clothing, IDs, everything, you know, all on video. Yeah, it's very eerie vibe out there in Lukeville. It does not feel welcoming at all. Especially, I mean, I didn't cross over that time into Mexico, but just being out there in the desert on the American side, it's like totally like a bad vibe.
Doesn't it feel like when you're out there, because I've been out there not by myself, but with a couple soldiers, and doesn't it feel like someone's watching you?
Yeah, at all times? Yeah. I think I even said that on the video, that like both times in Naco and in Lukeville, I felt like I was being watched. I didn't know by who, but that's just the vibe that I had. Didn't feel that way in Nogales. But again, now you're like in a metro area, not a metro, but you know what I mean? Like it's a city, and the more desolate areas, like you can just feel the vibe more, I think, because it's more silent where you go and you just have that gut feeling like, yeah, people are up to no good out here. You know,
yeah.
I could easily.
They're definitely watching, because years back, it's like early 2000s, I was in San Diego and with one of the guys I worked with who was, you know, he knew the area, and we were with the guy from Japan, one of our partners. And so we went down, he said, come on, let's go take a look at the fence. And we drove out off the road into the, there's no sign saying, you know, no trespassing or anything. And we drove out, we stopped, Japanese guy got out with his camera to take pictures of the fence. And within a second, the freaking customs police were there. It surrounded us, you know, and it's like, where did you come? How do they even see us from anywhere? You know, and it, they just came from out of everywhere and just surrounded the car. And
yeah, they got cameras.
So I'll tell you this.
You are like, definitely being watched.
In places like Nogales, I don't know what technology they're using, but they have sensors out there. Because if you go, you know, 4 or 5 miles in either direction, east or west from Nogales, the wall just ends. Mm-hmm. It just ends, and it's like there might be some barbed wire or some Normandy barriers. I've been out. I tried to send you the pin to go drive out there, and you said it was going to take you through private property, so you didn't go, which was smart.
Yeah, I'm ballsy, but not not quite that level.
But no, seriously, they have people out there on horseback. They got people out there on dirt bikes, four wheelers. Like they got all the pretty toys, you know. But one thing they do have is they have sensors out there. You know, we were briefed on it. It's the wall isn't what stops or what gets them to catch people. It's the technology out there. And we do have it. It just doesn't extend the full length of the border. It's
Could it? You know, I mean, it's like desolate for hundreds of miles. It's not like the border towns are right next to each other. I mean, they're all like hundreds of miles away, you know?
Yeah. And I'll tell you one thing. If you go to that east side of Nogales along the fence there, at one point, and I tried to find it on Google Maps, and maybe it's gone now. Maybe they tore it down because this has been a decade ago. But they had built this big house, and this was I think it was the Juarez cartel. They had built this big, beautiful house with a huge picture window in the front. And they would drive like a 15-pack van up there, and I've seen them doing it. They would drop some dudes off and pick some dudes up, and they'd bring shifts.
Yeah.
So they had people behind that glass. It was like mirrored glass, just watching our side of the border with radios telling their drug mules. And this is actually for drug smuggling, not for people smuggling. But they would be directing them. So they're watching where the Border Patrol is and directing their people, you know, where to go. And our low-tech solution, which I thought was genius, was they built stadium lights. They were on 24/7 shining right like, it's just they used to be to a baseball park, right? Where they got the big bank of lights. And that was their solution, was to shine it right in the window there. So they
could that's a great idea.
Yeah. But no, the point is they have stuff out there to catch people. Motion sensors. I think they have auditory sensors. They got infrared, like night vision kind of cameras. I never saw any when I was out there. I was just briefed that they're there.
Yeah, it's like prison. You know,
yeah, right.
It really is. No, I mean, it's weird because, like, yesterday I was in Mexico on the other side, And it was like the opposite. Just the, it just felt like the nothing like happened, you know. It's like people parking at the wall, driving next to the wall, painting the wall, even, you know, literally, you know.
So let's jump to there now. So you hit some censorship stuff. Did you have anything more you wanted to talk about? Yeah, you know what? You talked about some ways that you kind of got around the censorship.
Well, it's kind of weird. I mean, I don't know for sure if I got around it. Like, time will tell with that. But I don't, well, I mean, I, yeah, I had a semi-viral video, the one in Naco, which, you know, was at the border, that border town. And that one, you know, got like, I don't know, 2,200 views on it, in the first week, which is good because I'm a small channel. I mean, I got like 1,200 subscribers, you know, or something like that. And, you know, so that kind of, those kinds of numbers, like for my size of channel is obviously good. Basically what I did is I was just researching like basically like how to maximize your view counts as a YouTuber being a smaller channel. And it was just a bunch of AI settings actually on YouTube that basically automatically do stuff to your video, like without you knowing it. Like the boxes are automatically checked and you have to uncheck these boxes. And basically what the boxes are is like, automatically show this video to my audience, meaning like show it to my immediate subscribers, you know, first, and then see if the algorithm takes to it. And this guy was saying, you know, turn that off. Like if you're a small channel, you don't have enough subscribers to like really bank on that helping you. So just let the algorithm take your video no matter what. So turn that off. The second one was like automatic chapters, I guess, you know, in the video. Have you seen that before? So you don't want AI making chapters in your videos because it's all going to be wrong, as we've seen with AI, meaning like, you know, timestamps, like they're just all labeled wrong. I've had it happen. So I took that off. And then I think the last thing was it has to do. OK, like, so, you know, when you click a video about something controversial and then it gives you like a Wikipedia blurb, you know, that's trying to deter you, right? So you actually have to uncheck that box for that not to happen to your videos. I thought it was automatic, like YouTube would just do it, but you can actually make it not happen. So this was called like automatic concepts, I think. You have to turn that off.
I didn't know that. And when I went back, because I was, I looked up after we talked, I looked up, you know, how to possibly recover my YouTube account for Knights of the Storm, because everything that we talked about, we had proof. We had proof on, we brought it up on screen. We brought up the articles, the peer reviewed stuff, the debunk articles that we debunked, the debunk articles, Pfizer documentation, all that stuff. Cause we got nailed for medical misinformation, but now it's coming out in the mainstream. So I thought, well, hey, maybe I can go tell them like, hey, go back and look at my stuff because you can see I wasn't wrong. So can you do that? And when I went through the emails to, you know, try to go through the process, I found it crazy that it told me, like we would be in the middle of a stream and it would cut us, or as soon as we were done, it would cut us. And then the email would say, we carefully reviewed your video. They don't tell you what was wrong in it. How did you carefully review it in real time? You know, it is all AI run. Everything is AI run now. And the AI is not that freaking smart. We were looking at pictures earlier. Me and Serge were, I've been playing around with this AI, image generator tool that I've got to help me do thumbnails and stuff. And it's not that smart. You know, when you tell it to produce a cat in a bed of flowers and it has three tails on the cat, you know, or someone has three arms or four legs. It's not that smart. So if I would have known about those settings to get the AI out of my business, where it would have to rely on someone to like flag me first or report me before it was looked at, maybe Knights would still be on the air, you know, on over there.
No, for sure.
It was good advice, man. Good advice.
Yeah, no, I think I don't know. I mean, I could put out a video that maybe I'm totally wrong, you know, but I kind of also know like what I can and can't say on YouTube, risking censorship, you know? I mean, I try to leave that for like Rumble and Twitter and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
if yeah, I won't if do that.
I know. It's kind of a, yeah, it's kind of a blurred line because I know there's people who are like, no, don't even play their game. But then it's like, well, at the same time, like YouTube is still like the biggest platform for video. And it's like, if you want to get your message out of a hall of mirrors a little bit, like I feel compelled more to do that. Obviously, but like, yeah, there's, you know, strings attached for sure. You know, like can't talk about the vaccines or anything, like you totally get banned.
But you know what? That's another thing. And we were both on David's show and I talked about this. There's a John Campbell. He talks like straight up about.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, he's very, very large. So they can't exactly like sniper him off without some severe consequences. Mm-hmm. But for people like you and I, through using AI, they can, you know, sniper us down before we're big enough and nobody cares. So yeah. That's where we're going now. If you're not already there, if you're not a big name, big wig, you got to play their stupid game. And, you know, I kind of get your strategy. And Tiger and I talked about this, Angry Tiger and I, about, you know, try to stay on YouTube as much as you can to try to get people over to the other platforms. So maybe, you know, maybe Knights can do a totally different show over there that's non-controversial, and then let them know during the show, hey, if you want to catch the political stuff, come over, you know, come over to Rumble, and then we could bag YouTube a little bit. So I see that strategy. It just, I don't know. When they first gave me my first two strikes and I said, screw it, I'm uploading every episode we've ever had.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, I haven't gotten a strike, you know, which is fortunate. Oh, yeah. I mean that'll screw you. I've just gotten shadow banned on certain videos that's affected the channel like entirely. But yeah, luckily I haven't gotten if you get a strike, like you're definitely probably going to get taken off the platform.
Once you get on their radar. Yeah. What about you, Angus, man? You don't broadcast on YouTube, do you?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Were you?
When you and I did the interview with Don Jeffries, I put it on my YouTube channel and they took it down. Like I said, I see AI getting faster because there was like one, like a month or two before I posted it and like a week later, they took it down. The Don Jeffries one was the second I uploaded it. Boom. They nailed it.
Was that because we talked about Masking the Truth, his book?
Yes. And like I said, it was, you know, you can't tell me that you went through this whole thing and, you know, and find content. It was the second it posted, boom, they took it down.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was saying. When I upload the audio, like I'm going to put this on my Substack, right? It takes longer for me to upload the audio than it does for it to translate it into a transcript. So let's say we do an hour long video. It can have not only know how many people were there and who is saying what, but have it pretty much 90-95% correct grammar in like 2 or 3 minutes for like an hour long show. That's pretty damn fast. And even Tiger got kicked out 2 weeks in a row midstream. And one of them, it was just still playing the intro. It actually is using image recognition, and he thinks, and he might be onto something there. He's got it basically shows war and banking stuff and all the nastiness of the military-industrial complex and the banking system. And it has, you know, kids with guns and holding a bullet, and it flagged him for threatening children. So it's actually using graphical recognition now, not just audio. And I think that's relatively new, actually. Or he got flagged somehow for more scrutiny. Maybe they've had this technology, but they don't use it on everybody. But once you come under their radar, boom, you're getting the full, you know, the full pat down, you know, from the TSA. So
yeah, we'll see. Yeah, because I started using this dude in Ukraine to like start making my thumbnails cooler. So we'll see if the images that he used, you know,
let's talk about that for podcasters, because Franco and I have talked about it, and you and I have talked about it, Serge, and let's get Angus's take on it as well. But if you do start a podcast like we do when you're small, what are some of the things we can do to try to like promote ourselves or to stand out? Let's talk about what you're doing, Serge, and then we'll hit it up, Vangus.
Yeah. I think like thumbnail, I mean, pretty much having like a good title, a thumbnail, that's going to do like the most work for you. Hashtags matter on YouTube. I don't know about Rumble as much. Rumble's like slightly different algorithm. I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, pretty much like I tried SEO for a while where I would just like look up, you know, all my SEO searches and see how much, you know, they were basically hitting the internet in terms of keywords. But then I realized that all the stuff that I do is kind of beyond that a little bit. And you just have to come up with like kind of a little bit of a clickbait title sometimes to get people to watch. I mean, it's not a lie, right? But you're like slightly stretching the truth sometimes with the titles.
Yeah, you got to do the three sirens breaking and the three sirens. Yeah.
Yeah. Just yeah. Breaking. Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, because like the latest thumbnail that this guy did, it's like me in front of the wall with like American, you know, military and a guy like jumping over the wall, you know.
It was pretty sick. That was a pretty good
yeah, like none of that happened in the video though. You know,
but yeah, I'm actually taking that advice. I'm that's what I'm playing with, the AI generated you know, it's not going to make my thumbnails for me, but it's going to get me a background image that's not copyright protected.
Yeah.
So I can at least have a foundation, because I don't want to spend 8 hours. I mean, hell, sometimes Angus and I don't even know what we're going to talk about the day prior, you know, because if we lined out our news all week and then David covered it and Tiger covered it and then Guard covered it, it's like, we don't want to seem like we're repeating, and sometimes we've had to do that, you know. But
yeah, I was gonna say, I think that's like the other thing. Yeah, like it is tough when you're like in this community, because then you're like, okay, everyone kind of like is watching the same people. Sure. So then you're like trying to not regurgitate it. So I don't know. I guess that's like with my stuff, I'm like, all right, like I guess I'm just gonna cover like more esoteric, personable. Like I'm gonna go in person, you know, to like, you know, the border or cross into Mexico while everyone else can do like the, I guess what we would call like the white collar more reporting, yeah. You know, not a bad thing. Just that's probably more what it is.
Well, it's like being, having a news anchor versus a reporter out in the field.
Type yeah. Thing. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Well, yeah.
We like to try to do some deep dives into stuff too, you know, like, but it just sucks. It sucks when it's Friday night. And I'm like, Angus, we're good to go tomorrow. I got my topics. I got everything ready to go. And then Guard covers literally everything I was going to talk about. And I'm like, yeah.
Well, I think then we have to get Guard censored. We have to get Guard taken down then.
Yeah, that's yeah.
And then we don't have to worry Guard. About
sorry, Guard. Sorry, Guard. Go ahead and start reporting Guard's Twitter and take his spot.
Yeah. No, he does a great job covering almost everything that's worth covering. So.
Yeah, no, for sure. But yeah, well, that was one thing. I don't know if you wanted to touch on that, the like crossing into Mexico.
Yeah. Tell us about that. What you've been doing, this, well, let's real quick before we move to that, Angus, have you played with any settings or anything to try to get your view counts up, like in Rumble or anything, or are you just kind of like,
no, I agree with Serge though. I mean, it's all on, a lot of it is on the title. You know, I have two thumbnails that I use for mine, and I wasn't really putting titles on them before. It's just episode 58, episode, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now I put a title and it seems, you know, the people are looking for something, you know, Bigfoot, so, you know.
I've been doing that as well.
I do more nonsensical stuff on mine. So it's, you know, people can search that, whatever. I mean, because you're talking about this. I didn't understand that I didn't know that this place you went to in the desert in Arizona was a national park.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah. There's a whole thing about national parks, which I'm not going to bring up on here because we don't cover stuff like that, but all the clothing and stuff like that, and where do these people go? There's a whole thing about national parks on that. That's a different topic for my show or when we are off camera here later on.
Okay, you got me curious now. But no, seriously, the title stuff, I've been playing with that because the Knights of the Storm, I'm kind of an anal guy. I was military for, you know, 20 plus years. And in the break of service, I was an internet guy, and everything has to be like super massively organized. So it's episode one, episode two, you know, episode, the date, like the naming convention is always the same because I'm just anal about that stuff. But mm-hmm. I started tagging on So it'll be like episode 75, and then I'll put a title after it. And I think that's been helping a lot because people know what it's about. And, you know, I want the episode numbers because if somebody says, hey, which episode did you, you know, talk about, you know, GMO and freaking whatever, I can go, hey, go to episode 62 or whatever, you know. Sure. And then, you know, it helps me as well on my backup if I have some type of thing. So it'll be like, this one's called Surge the Purged. That's the title we're putting on it. So it's episode, what is it, 71. I got the date, and then I got Surge the Purged. So I think that's been helping, and I think the thumbnails will help as well. Yeah, so I'm down for that. I'm going to give it a try and see how it goes.
Yeah, for sure.
We want to get the word out, but, you know, we can't get the word out if people don't watch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%.
So let's talk about what you just went down to the border and what you're planning on doing. That was kind of sketchy, man. I watched your videos on Twitter. A little bit sketchy.
Yes. Man, I made a bad decision yesterday, to be quite honest. I don't know. Like, you know, doing this kind of stuff, sometimes you're just feeling like, you know, this would be really good if I can get this on video. You know, you're just always, I'm always thinking about that stuff while I'm filming. I'm like, all right, what's going to be like the most optimal stuff that's going to be informational, but also like, okay, no one else has done this. So therefore, like, because you always kind of, I don't know, like reporting, you do kind of want to be like the first one to like get a lot of stuff. You know, I always try to strive for that. Even though I'm smaller, like, I know one day the channel will grow to a point where I'm like, okay, yep, I did that before all of you guys, kind of thing, you know? So like, whoever decides to, whatever, replicate videos, right? Because people are always stealing each other's ideas. Mm-hmm. And stuff. So yeah, basically yesterday, I went to Nogales last week in the American side. I was thinking about crossing to Mexico, but I felt off put by it because I was by myself and I've actually never been to Mexico in my life. Although I did have my passport. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I probably shouldn't do this alone. So I brought a friend with me to help me film and cross with me. And it was like there was the most bizarre thing because, you know, border crossings are intense, generally speaking. And we just walked into Mexico, like
no camping in tents.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So like we cross in and I'm thinking, all right, my passport's going to get checked by the federales or whatever. Nobody's there. Like literally yep. Just walk into Mexico. I'm like, okay. What? So yeah, no, so yep. straight up. Yeah. Wow. No, nobody, no one said, oh, you're good. Like it was just like, I literally like walked in and I'm like, did we just do the right thing? Like, is this the protocol, you know?
I was actually working in Juarez a few years back and staying in El Paso, and it was the same thing. And I was driving across, and you would pull up to the gate. If the light was green, you just went through. If it was red, then you stopped, and they would come out and talk to you. Nine times out of ten, the light was green and just drove in.
Yeah, and you almost second guess it because then you're like, oh, shit, I hope I have my passport. You're like, I brought that with me, right? Because you're thinking, well, I'll at least know for sure if I get stopped and have to show it, right? So I was kind of sketched out by that. And it's like immediately upon walking into Nogales, Mexico, things changed instantly. Like people are waiting by the crossing just to sell you stuff. Immediately upon entering, like hustling you, dental offices everywhere, pharmacies everywhere. Actually, that's like all there was for, you know, a good half mile upon entering was just all dentists, all pharmacies. So then when we went to currency exchange, you know, I got my pesos or whatever. And then we started walking around the city, which is a big city. I didn't expect it to be that big, way bigger than the American side.
100%.
And it was just like wall-to-wall people everywhere. I mean, it really is a third world country because you know what, you're in a third world country when there's just like a million people and it's like overcrowded, you know. And that was like totally the vibe. But it's so much more lively and less intense in terms of being, you know, next to the border wall. Because like, you know, the American side, it's like you're not – it's just so intense. Like you're not going to just be chilling in that area, you know. But over in Mexico, it's like – not their property, you know, right? So the Americans' property is the border wall. So it was just totally different pace. And I didn't plan on doing any interviews because I don't speak Spanish. And I figured no one would want to talk to me because I look like a tourist. But somehow, like literally, I mean, I feel so incredibly fortunate to have gotten this interview. Like, I really don't feel like this was supposed to happen, but it just did. This guy, Mexican guy, obviously walks up to me because he sees the camera and he starts speaking a little bit of English. And I'm like, all right, this is the moment. You know, how do you like living in Nogales? Well, it very quickly turned into I crossed the border when I was 20 years old, lived in Phoenix, Arizona as an illegal and sold meth to people and have like five felonies. I finally went to jail multiple times, and then finally the judge deported me back to Mexico, which I kind of felt like was bombshell in the moment. I'm like, I feel like nobody is going to get that interview. You know what I mean? Like, of just like, yo, this guy went through the entire process. Like, he crossed illegally, was successful, did crimes, admitted to doing all of those, and then came back, you know, got supported back or whatever. And just told me, he's like, yeah, America's cool, man. If you can just like not commit crimes, you know, you'll have a good life in America and all this stuff, you know, obviously, right? I feel like a lot of people aren't looking at that stuff right now, you know. People, it's either you wear your heart on your sleeve or you go the other way a lot with this issue. But here's the guy telling you the info, right? But then I asked him because, you know, I was feeling like pretty confident, to be honest. Like, I think I might have had a little bit of overconfidence going into Mexico. I'd already walked up to the wall and, you know, talked with this guy for a while. And I was like, how safe do you think it is, you know, to walk up into the hills where the neighborhoods are? Because I've watched a lot of videos with guys in Colombia that basically say, like, you know, don't go up high. That's what they call it. Don't go up high, like stay low in the tourist areas of the towns and cities. And I was like, what do you think, man? If we go up high, you know, we're here in Mexico, we're not in Colombia. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're cool, man. Just be willing to pay people, you know, if you got a film or whatever. And I'm like, all right, you know, I guess. But I was thinking like pay them as in like maybe this would be like a decent exchange rather than like a super hostile encounter, you know. So I see like the huge stairwell going up, like the literally San Francisco looking hills, you know, it's so steep you wouldn't want to drive up them. And once we got, there's so much trash, by the way, like even the camera guy that I was with was like, I cannot believe how much trash there is in Mexico. Like, it's unbelievable. Smells everywhere. And I mean, it's like sewage is not good. So we saw that going, especially into the neighborhoods, because they kind of get rid of that in the tourist areas. And then as soon as we got all the way to the top of the hill, literally, I look over and I see three guys in like black bandit masks. Just hanging out in the alleyway. And I was thinking, like, that probably isn't good. And, but I was thinking, I still was feeling confident. I was like, maybe if we just keep walking, we'll be fine. Right. But then immediately they saw the camera and they start shouting, hey, gringo, you know. As soon as they start saying that, I'm like, oh no, this is bad, you know. And that's, I realized in that moment, I just screwed up badly, you know. And then they started shouting at people in the rooftops of other houses as I speak in Spanish and stuff, like talking about us, and they started trying to confront us. And that's when I looked at my camera guy and I'm like, man, I think we need to turn back. But you can't run, because if you run down that slope, like, you're gonna fall and it's just gonna be worse for you. So I'm doing like the swift calm walk down these stairs trying to like play this cool, also knowing that now these guys are following me, trying to have a confrontation, probably trying to rob me or end the camera, you know, and take our money or whatever. So yeah, I mean, thank God that nothing happened that was severe. I talked to a couple people after that said that more than likely was like gang related activity, and they just didn't want us in their neighborhood rather than like, because I kind of wondered, like, once we got down to the bottom of the hill, I didn't see them following us anymore. And I thought that was weird, too. I'm like, why are they not I would just thought they would have just rolled up on us until we crossed literally to the other side of the border again, you know, to try to rob us or whatever. But they stopped like once we got to the bottom of the mountain. So I'm not really sure, but I was told that, you know, potentially gang related, definitely shouldn't have done that. You know, it was bad.
But you can run into that same situation in Detroit. Yeah, you go to the wrong place. And I was just recently in Jackson, Mississippi, and I'll tell you what, it sounded very much like you just described.
No, Jackson's a
hotel.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's that's the worst city in America, actually, probably.
Yeah, I didn't find that out until I was there.
Oh,
yeah, that happened to me in Las Vegas. My buddy I worked with, and this is back, oh geez, long, long, long time ago. But anyway, he took me to some place up in, I think it was North Las Vegas. But I didn't know he was trying to buy some weed, and he just said he needed to go see a friend. And I pulled up, and he said, "Pull over right here." And literally I was bum rushed by like 50 people.
Wow.
And this was not like a neighborhood you want to be, you know, going to for a barbecue or anything like that. And, anyway, I ended up taking off. I just peeled out. I was like, screw this, man. Cause I thought I was getting carjacked or something, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, what are you doing? You gotta stop. You gotta stop. I'm like, what's happening? He's like, they're just coming to sell me dope. And I'm like, oh, that's why you had me come here. You know, I don't want this crap in my car, man. Because Vegas back then,
the farmer's,
you know,
market for weed.
Back then you can get caught with crack, you can get caught with cocaine. They didn't care because the mafia sold it. But weed, they didn't have their grubby mitts on. So weed was like more prosecuted than anything. And that's what my buddy liked. He liked to smoke weed. And he kind of like sucked me into that position. I don't smoke, you know, so I'm like, I don't know what it's like when you pull into an area where everybody wants to be your dealer, you know, and they're trying to compete to get that sale. Yeah. So I freaked out and took off.
No, that's kind of how Mexico is, man. Everyone's trying to hustle you. Yeah.
East St. Louis, man. I'm telling you.
Okay. That might be worse than Jackson, actually. I've been through East St. Louis a couple times.
Yeah. I went down a street where they had switched around the street signs so you couldn't find your way back to the highway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And it's weird because I was coming home and I tried to pull off and get gas or something. And I pulled off and I couldn't find my way. This is back before GPS days, you know, I couldn't find my way back to the highway. And I'm driving down these streets that are like empty. They're completely abandoned. You get boarded up businesses and stuff like that. Maybe a broke down car on the side of the road. And you don't see anybody. But then I look in my rear view and there's just massive amounts of people. Come, like, who just drove by? You know, they're walking out into the street from the alleys and from these abandoned buildings and stuff, and it's like, holy cow. And I eventually found my way back onto the highway, but I've lived in St. Louis, and I think I've only been in East St. Louis two or three times, you know. And that's, I'm talking good, about, man. Like right at by the river, you know,
because
kind of spans quite a bit of area. I'm sure there's some decent areas there, but
that's good.
I was in a place called Rolla, Missouri, and I'll tell you what, that place was real sketchy.
Yeah, Midwest has a lot of that, you know. It's unfortunate. You know, it's, some of that stuff doesn't look any better than Mexico, to be honest.
Yeah, it's every place has its spots. I mean, LA, I loved LA, but LA has its spots, but it's got its great spots too. I haven't been there in, you know, two decades, but there was area, and I tell you, you know, Snoop Dogg talks about Long Beach. Long Beach is a snooty place, man. They got boats and stuff and little, you know, it's like out there right next to the beach, entire neighborhoods that have like canals.
Yeah, they do have some old money, but I think he's from Northside Long Beach, which borders Compton.
Okay.
Which is
okay.
Different, yeah.
All right, I just seen the part of Long Beach when we went down to, because that's where we caught our I took a cruise for a week down to Mexico, and we launched
the downtown LBC area is really nice, and as soon as you head north, it's not nice at all. It's weird. Yeah,
all right.
Trying to give Snoop Dogg the benefit of the doubt a little bit.
Street cred.
He doesn't deserve it, but you know.
I'll be out there next week in LA. All
right. So you're going to be out in LA, you said, next week?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yep.
I was out there in 2020 was the last time, and I'll tell you what, I thought I was in India.
Really? Yeah,
with the homelessness, people living, yeah, and the garbage on the streets and everything, it was ridiculous. I can only imagine what's happened in the past 4 years, 3 years.
Wow. That's it. Mm-hmm. Well, it completely was not like that when I was there.
When did you live there?
Early to mid 2000 or not early to mid 90s.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, different time. But they had the Hollywood Beautification Act too in the early 2000s, which cleaned it up. And then I think when Obama got in is when the whole city really took a dump, like hard. Because I remember when I moved there, they were like, "Yeah, it's only in the last 5 years that we've been seeing homeless people like this." It was like apparently not like that, and then now it's about 10 years since that happened, and it's just unbelievable. You know,
yeah, because I used to go in the early 2000s and it wasn't bad at all. Like I said, I went back out there after 10 years or whatever. It's like, holy crap, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think I would be going there. But anyway, so what do you got on your plate coming up? Like, what are your plans to do next? Are you going to mess with the border some more, or are you going to cover some other stuff?
That's a good question. I might give the border a rest for a little bit, not sure yet. it's very compelling. I mean, it's, I don't know. I am kind of an adrenaline junkie a little bit, you know, like that kind of stuff satisfies my life a little bit. I hate to say that because I shouldn't be putting myself in those kinds of situations, but I don't know, you know, I get something out of it, I guess, like mentally. It's just like, wow, I can't believe I just did that, you know, and then I got it on video, and then, and it's like, and I think it helps people too, obviously, otherwise I wouldn't do it. But, you know, part of the adrenaline rush with doing some of the stuff is fun for me. So I don't know. I might go back down there and explore more, but I'm not sure at the moment.
I like the interview you did with the guy that he's been like the traffic vest or whatever, the guy who had come over and told his story about, he was an illegal and all that. I think that's pretty cool to get it from. I don't think anybody talks to those folks. You know, no. They assume that, and he's doing well now, right? He's on the right path.
Well, he's living in Nogales, Mexico. He's telling me it's pretty rough.
Oh, you know? I thought you caught him on the U.S. side. I thought he was.
That's why I thought that interview was crazy, because I was in Mexico that he told me all that. And basically everybody said, don't talk to anyone in Mexico. Like, they just advised me not to do it because they said it would be dangerous to approach people and talk to them. So I didn't. Like, I at least did that much where I'm like, I'm not going to try to do this. But this guy approached me while I was walking in Nogales and wanted to, you know, talk to the camera and be whatever, famous on YouTube or something, whatever he thought, you know. And he kind of told me too much info, honestly. He's like, "Hey, man, maybe you want to edit some of that out." I'm like, "No, this is too bombshell, man."
How hard did you have any trouble getting back in once you went to Mexico side?
That's a good question. And I actually thought I was going to. I thought it was going to be crazy. You know, it was weird, though. Like, it's so unorganized coming back, too. The whole area is, like, the most unorganized. And this is interesting. Now that you asked that, I do need to talk about that real quick. Because when I crossed into Canada earlier in 2023... Actually, now a year ago, in 2023, I went to Canada for like a day. I was in upstate New York. And
Where at?
I was in Niagara Falls, you know.
Okay, so like, Buffalo area. Okay.
Up there.
I live north of Syracuse, Fort Drum area, and we were right by the border.
Yeah, the worst weather in the whole country is upstate New York, 100%. And so I crossed into Canada. Ironically, there was a Mexican Border Patrol agent on the Canada side who, checked my passport, asked me a couple questions, and then I'm good. I'm in Canada. Coming back into the U.S. from the Canada side, 2.5 hour long line just to get up to the border crossing itself. Once I get there, I'm there for another almost 45 minutes getting questioned by Border Patrol on why I went to Canada out of all places, and then searches my vehicle, and then even tries to tell me that my license plate is wrong. I had a Tennessee plate at the time because I was living in Tennessee, And he's like, nah, man, your plate's coming up as a Vermont license plate. And I literally tell the guy, I'm like, listen, man, you got two eyes. Why don't you go take a look at my Tennessee plate that says Tennessee on it, you know, turning this whole thing. After he searched my car and roughed up my vehicle on the inside, I finally was able to cross after like 3 hours trying to avoid a snowstorm in Canada. And then so here's the caveat. Going to Mexico, no one even checked my passport to walk into Mexico. And then coming back into Mexico, there was no like, there's not even any signs that tell you where to cross at on the other side. Like you have to just figure it out. Like, where do I go? You know? And then I see this huge group of people like waiting to, like, I don't know, talk to American Border Patrol about crossing. Like, I have no idea. They could have been migrants. They could have been doing something. I have no idea. But it was like taking forever, and I'm like waiting there, and I'm thinking, is this the line? Like, I don't even know if this is the line. It turns out it's not the line. Like, they're just waiting to like figure out how to get on the other side. And finally, some American Border Patrol dude comes over and like kind of waves to us, and it's like, yo, come in this entrance, you know, so you can cross or whatever. He literally just looks at the I didn't even have my actual passport. I just had a passport card, you know, the whatever in America. And he looks at the passport card and then just like lets us in. He's like, cool, just go stand in that line. There's like one more line, you know, for customs or whatever. And then it's like this Border Patrol girl asked me, so, you know, what'd you do in Mexico? She sees my camera and I'm like, just, you know, filming a travel video. She's like, nice. Was it everything you wanted it to be? And I was like, eh, you know, it was pretty much my response. And then she's like, congratulations, you just went to the worst border town in Mexico and then let me through. And that was it. That was the entire exchange. And I don't know if statistically it is like actually true. I think Juarez is probably the worst one, but I don't know.
Juarez was the murder capital of the world when I used to go down there. And we stopped. The company I worked for just said, you're not going there anymore because they can't guarantee. And at that time, State Department had, you know, put warnings out and stuff about going to Juarez. And I'll tell you what, it was all the border towns are like that. They're all pretty rough.
So you're saying that you used to go there all the time and it was the murder capital of the world. Now you don't go there and it's not the murder capital of the world.
Hey, I'm not talking nothing. I want a lawyer.
Maybe it's Nogales.
No, I've been to like Mexico City. I've been to Puebla, Querétaro.
So I've actually heard it's safer, like the further south you get away from
it. It is. Yeah. The further inland you are, you're way safer.
Well, I went to
like all the coastal areas where they have the touristy areas. They say you don't go out, you don't leave that property. If you leave that property, you're going to get mugged or killed or whatever.
I was down
in Mazatlan. You go to Querétaro or something like that, perfectly fine.
I was in Mazatlan I went down, like I said, I went on a cruise and we stopped at Puerto Vallarta, Mazatlan, and then Cabo San Lucas, which I didn't get off in Cabo San Lucas because that's just a freaking, might as well be America 2.0 down there. Mazatlan was, you know, as soon as I get off the boat, I got away from the port, just started walking into the neighborhoods because I wanted to see what Mexico was like, you know, not the touristy parts. And I literally, it was pretty sketchy. I walked about 2 miles, 3 miles, something like that. And there was this bar on the corner that had all the windows blacked out. You could tell they did live performances there. And this is like middle of the day, right? But they were open. And I actually had a friend with me. So I was like, hey, let's go in here and get a drink. And we walked in and there's literally a dude cleaning his like revolver on the bar. Like the dude who worked there was cleaning his revolver. And then he had a buddy, I think he might've worked there as well, sitting there at the bar with him. And they were just talking and I don't know. They didn't rob me, you know. They were trying to sell me stuff, but we just had a couple beers and I think I had like $40 on me total. So it's not like I could have got robbed really anyway. But no, like you said, it's very, very far south of the border. So even though it looked kind of sketchy, I don't know, the people there was, I don't think they were gang members or anything like that or drug smugglers or anything. They're just pretty cool people, man.
Yeah, fair enough.
And he had a nice revolver. It looked like the one that Rick Grimes uses on The Walking Dead, that big old freaking...
I was told that the guns, by that guy in Mexico, he told me that you can't own a gun. It's totally illegal. So anyone that has one got it all illegally, like through cartels. Yeah.
All right. Hats off to this guy then.
Yeah. You got a
nice chrome piece, man. But anyway, is there any other stuff we want to cover? I mean, I got a lot of news here to talk about if you guys want to stay on for a little bit longer.
I actually have to hop off here in a second. I can't think of anything that I didn't say personally.
All right.
About well, we this can, issue.
Angus, I'm going to hang on to these articles that I got because I got some really cool tech stuff I want to talk about that nobody else is talking about. So I think we can hang on to it till next week and cover it.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, let's go around the table, see if anyone has anything else on the border. We'll start with Angus. What you got, brother?
No, I just I'm glad you went there and you seen what actually happens, because I don't believe anything they put on the news or anything that they're telling me anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure. I appreciate that.
Appreciate you going there.
All right. Yeah. Final thoughts, Serge, before we get up out of here.
I mean, that's pretty much it. Don't ever do what I did. Like, seriously, don't do it. Seriously, don't do it. Like, really not advised. Stupid decision. I might do it again, but don't do it.
You're a glutton for punishment.
I guess so, yeah.
All right. Well, I guess I'll get us up out of here. So until next time, make sure to keep your armor tight and your sword sharp. Until next time.